Good morning. Nice to see everybody this morning. Glad nobody melted on the way into church this morning in the rain. Maybe that's why one or two people aren't here. Maybe they did, and I just don't know yet. So, Kathy just asked me to mention that because Pat's not feeling well and not sure how things are going to work out over the next few days, they are not going to start Bible study, that women's Bible study, this Wednesday. They will start that after Pat is ready to help lead that. So just pay attention and we'll make sure you see when that's going to be. Other than that, please make note of the things in the bulletin for upcoming for this week and the next few weeks. So, and as we continue our progression through the Bible and seeing what God is doing from Genesis to Revelation, we'll be in 1 Kings chapter 17 this morning if you want to turn there. 1 Kings chapter 17. The brother of Jesus, James, wrote, "Every good thing and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow." Now, I don't know about you, but I like gifts. I like gifts. It's always nice to get something that you didn't earn and don't deserve. Now, some of those gifts that James is writing about are probably not what we think of when we think of gifts from God. You know, the things that we normally think about, salvation through Jesus Christ. We think about the gift of the Holy Spirit, and possibly even the fact that the Holy Spirit is given to us to help us keep from falling into temptation. But gifts from God include a beautiful sunrise or a sunset, a nice rain to help clean the air in the middle of allergy season, a job to provide for our needs, a house for protection from the elements. Each one of those is a gift from God. Food. Food is another great gift from God, and it's a gift on more than one level. For one, the growth and production of food is a gift from God. Who could withhold the rain? He could withhold the heat that's necessary for growth. He could withhold the sunshine, or he could send a storm at the most inopportune time. Taste. Taste of food is a gift from God. He could have made us like the termites, and all we got to taste was wood, or dung beetles eating filth and rot. But instead, think of all of the great varieties of flavors that most of us get to enjoy. Those things that God has given us to enjoy when we eat our food. But then there are the means to procuring our food, from hunting and gathering to growing and harvesting, or working for a paycheck and purchasing it from someone else. God provides each of those opportunities for us to procure our food. But what happens when the drought hits? What happens when there's no way to provide? What happens when the animals just aren't there? Well, in the case of Elijah, God is going to provide for Elijah. And as we look at 1 Kings chapter 17, and we look at the ways that God provides for Elijah, it's an opportunity for us to learn the lesson that Paul writes to the Philippians when he says, "And my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." You see, in looking at the story of 1 Kings chapter 17, in looking at the account of Elijah and the drought that is in the midst of taking place as a judgment on the northern tribes of Israel, what we see is that is that there is meaning and there is purpose in the ways that God provides for Elijah. There is meaning and purpose in the ways that God provides for His people. And this morning we're going to examine 1 Kings chapter 17 as we move through the sermon. As we move through, we'll look at the appropriate places in this passage. The first of those is verses 1 through 7, when the writer of 1 Kings introduces us to what is taking place and the first means that God uses to provide for His people. It says, "Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord the God of Israel lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word.' Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, 'Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kirith ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there.' So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to Kirith ravine, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook." God, first of all, provides for Elijah. He's not providing for a whole group of people. In fact, there's a whole group of people that is being excluded from the provisions that are being provided for Elijah. God sends Elijah out into a region where there aren't a lot of people. He sends Elijah out into a region where God can do for Elijah what God wants to do for Elijah alone. And over the next period of years, the people in Israel are going to start to suffer. There won't be enough water for them to have all that they need. There won't be enough food because the drought is going to be severe, and the drought is going to last for 3 to 3.5 years. There will not be any rain for a long period of time. And depending on when the drought starts and when the drought ends, there might be 4 to 5 seasons without food for the nation of Israel, for the northern tribes of Israel. But God is going to provide for Elijah. And in fact, this is just for Elijah, and if you read the whole story and you read on from 1 Kings chapter 17 and you read into 1 Kings chapter 18 and 19, what you find is while Elijah was one prophet of God, there were other prophets of God whom God was not providing for in the same way He was for Elijah. Elijah is the only prophet who has meals on wings, delivery from the fast food delivery service of Ravens Incorporated, you know, the original Big Mac, you know, something of the sort, coming to Elijah on, well, from these ravens. Ravens that normally are scavengers and taking things away are now bringing things to Elijah. Day after day, twice a day, morning and evening, God is providing for Elijah while He's not providing in the same way for the other prophets of God. That doesn't mean there aren't prophets, and that doesn't mean God's not providing for them, but the way He does it is different for Elijah. And the purpose for meeting the needs of Elijah in the way that he is doing is to prepare Elijah, to teach Elijah to trust in God. Sometimes God provides our needs in ways that really mean that at the end of the day, we simply have to trust Him. Some days when God provides for our needs, what He's doing is helping us to learn to trust. And in this particular case for Elijah, he is Elijah is supposed to be learning this lesson in trusting God. A lesson that's going to be important for the things that God has Elijah preparing to do and the things that will take place in the life of Elijah. He's going to have to learn to trust God. We sometimes think we trust God, but when the bottom falls out and then you find your way to the bottom of the chute and find out that's not really the bottom, but the bottom is still deeper yet, that's when you really learn how much you've learned to trust God. And Elijah, in facing the drought, is just, the bottom has just fallen out. He hasn't reached the bottom yet. And when he reaches that bottom, he's going to find that the chute opens up and he falls even farther down. But he's not there yet. But what God is doing is preparing Elijah now at the beginning to trust Him so that later, when the bottom falls out of the bottom that's already fallen out, Elijah trusts God. Sometimes in life we need to see today when things are going okay that God can provide. And we need to focus not on what we have, but we need to focus on the God who provides. Because if the bottom hasn't fallen out for you recently, if things are going pretty good for you right now, one thing I know is the bottom is going to fall out. It never fails. The bottom always seems to fall out. Just when we think we've gotten back to the top, we find ourselves falling and looking back up again. And Elijah is going to find that he has to learn to trust in God. And so every day, God sends the ravens. Now see, for God to provide for Elijah, God makes the promise. But Elijah has to trust and obey. If God says to Elijah, "I'm going to send the ravens to the Kirith ravine. You go there and I'll give you water from the brook and I'll send ravens to feed you." And instead of going to the Kirith ravine, Elijah goes back to Tishbe. Is he going to get his food? Is he going to get his water? Well, the answer is no, because God is directing the ravens to the Kirith ravine. God is sending his ravens to the place where God promises. And sometimes we miss the blessings of God because we're not willing to trust and obey. We might trust that God will do what He says He's going to do, but we won't obey. And actually, if we don't obey, we're telling God we don't really trust Him. And for Elijah, it was important to learn that God would provide, but it was important for him to learn to trust and obey. And so faithfully, day after day, God sends Elijah his food. And then one day, God says to Elijah, "Oop, the plans have changed. I've got a new thing for you to do, and I will provide for you in a new way." And so as the story goes on, beginning with verse 8, the writer says this, actually beginning with verse 7, the writer says this. He says, "Sometime later the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, 'Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food.' So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, 'Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?' As she was going to get it, he called, 'And bring me, please, a piece of bread.' 'As surely as the Lord your God lives,' she replied, 'I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for my son and myself so that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, Do not be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small loaf of bread and bring it to me from what you have, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord that had been spoken by Elijah. So here we have God providing for this woman and her son, and providing for Elijah. You know, sometimes God will provide for us for just us. Sometimes God provides for us through other people. You see, God was providing for the widow and her son. But God was, in His mercy, providing also for Elijah. God could have kept sending the ravens with food for Elijah, and God could have done something like He did for the Israelites coming out of Egypt and provided water from a rock, or He could have created a spring that just kept providing just enough water for Elijah. But God said, No, I'm going to do something different, and now I'm going to provide for you, Elijah, through this widow. I'm going to provide for her so she can provide for you. Now we look at it and we think, oh, that's just a nice way to provide some food. Now, that's just God being generous and God being gracious. And while it is God's generosity and while it is God's graciousness, God is making a point. And I think God is really making the point for Elijah. Now the woman is also going to get the point eventually, but God is making a point to Elijah. And that is this, that Yahweh is God and Baal is not. Now I think from what I've read that Elijah already believes this. But sometimes we need to have this clarification in our spiritual lives. Sometimes, even though we believe that God is God and there are no others, sometimes we need to be reminded of that. That God is God. That the Yahweh, the creator of the heavens and the earth, that Yahweh, the one who sent His Son to die on the cross, is God, and the President of the United States is not. That God is God and the healthcare system is not. That God is God and our money is not. That God is God and our safety and security is not. Sometimes we need to be reminded of that, and I think what God is doing for Elijah is much the same thing He does for us. Sometimes we look and we think we know where things are going to be provided for, and God says, nope, we're going to do this a different way, so I get your attention. And so God sends Elijah to this widow, and He asks her to do the unthinkable. To give up the last little bit of flour and oil. To make a little cake. Kind of like a flat biscuit, kind of like a hard pancake maybe, and to make this and then to bring it to Him. Instead of doing what she was planning on doing, and that is breaking it up and dividing it between her son and herself so they can eat one last meal, Elijah says, bring some to me first. Because God has said, Yahweh has said, that He will provide day after day until the drought has ended and the famine has gone, that He'll provide for you. And God, while He's providing for this woman, is providing for Elijah. You see, Baal was a god who was supposed to be the god of thunder and the god of rain. He was supposed to be the god who made it so that the earth would be productive. He brought the rains in their seasons and withheld the rains at the times when it wasn't supposed to rain. This was Baal's job. And God was looking to Elijah, and He was making a point to this widow that Yahweh is God, not Baal. And Elijah needed to learn this lesson for the encounter that's going to take place. God is teaching Elijah to trust in Him beyond all else, because it's going to be important for what God is about to do through Elijah. You see, sometimes God provides, well, God was providing for the prophet Elijah through an idolater. Most likely, this woman who lived in Zarephath of Sidon was a worshiper of Baal. And most likely, she took this very seriously. But yet, when Elijah comes, God says, I'm going to provide for you, Elijah, through this idolater, to prove to you and to prove to her that I am God. And sometimes God provides for us through the godless so that we can point people to Him. And this is where it's important to remember what the gifts of God truthfully are. This is the point where it's important for us to think back and think about all of the things that are truthfully gifts from God. The jobs that we have, to make the money that we need, to provide the food and the clothes that we have, to provide shelter over our heads, to keep us safe when it gets too hot or too cold or the weather is just too volatile to really be outside. It's nice to have a place to go, but we have to remember that those are truthfully gifts from God. And sometimes God is going to provide for us in the way He did with Elijah through this woman, through this unnamed widow. You see, here's a Baal worshiper who is being provided for by God so that she can provide and take care of the prophet of God. Sometimes God is going to give other people an opportunity to bless His children so that they in turn can point those people to God who gave the provisions in the first place. And so you might have a job that comes from somebody who isn't a follower of Christ, so that you can be a witness, so that you can have the opportunity to point them to God. You know, I remember a day when I would have questioned God's giving people employment and God's taking care of some of those things. But several years ago, when Lauren was just a small child, before Lainey came along, I was without a job for a few months, and I was really trying to figure out what I was going to do and where I was going to be able to provide for my family. And it just happened that church we'd been attending, the preacher had asked me if I would teach a Sunday school class. And since that's what I enjoy doing, is preaching and teaching, of course I said yes. And I started teaching the Sunday school class. We were meeting in a school, and so we were meeting in a hallway, and it was just a small Sunday school class. The church hadn't had a lot of of those things before, but we had an opportunity for this season to have one because new spaces had opened up to us. And so I was teaching this Sunday school class, and one day there was myself and a husband and a wife, and we were discussing some things, and they'd been in my Sunday school class for a couple of weeks, and this particular morning he was trying to convince her that he needed a piece of equipment for his construction business, and he was trying to get me involved in this argument or this discussion. It wasn't an argument, it was a discussion. I was afraid it might turn into an argument, but he was trying to get me involved, and before the end of Sunday school class that day, we hadn't gotten very far through what we were studying, but I had an opportunity to work because of a conversation that began in Sunday school class about something totally unrelated. Now, he was a follower of Christ, and so God was providing for me through another follower, but sometimes God gives us those opportunities. And I believe that God always gives us the opportunities. Sometimes he places them right before us like that. Sometimes he just provides us with the abilities and the knowledge to possess a job. Sometimes it's direct, sometimes it's more indirect, but I really believe that many times God gives us the opportunities to work for people who do not know him as God and Savior, so that we can in turn around and witness to them, so that we can provide, you know, God is going to provide for our needs through them, even though they're not followers of Christ. But he gives us the opportunity to witness to them. Sometimes maybe you go to a doctor and you find out partway through an exam that this doctor is not a follower of Jesus Christ, and God is going to give you, as things go, the opportunity. The doctor is going to provide you with some health and some resources, and you in turn are going to get the opportunity to witness to them. You know, sometimes our opportunities to witness to those people is simply the attitude that we have. The attitude that we bring to the job, the attitude that we bring to the illness or to the situation that's causing us problems, and somebody else is providing a needed service for us, and our attitude is different. And so we get the opportunity. But sometimes it's through the actions that we take. The work ethic or the way that we confront things, we get the opportunity through our actions to show that something is different about what we believe and what we hold to be true. And sometimes it's an opportunity to share with our words, with our mouth. And then our actions and our attitudes have to back up the things that we say. But we get the opportunity to point people to Jesus Christ. We get the opportunity to proclaim the name of God because of what we're going through, and because God is providing for our needs through unbelievers. And that's what we see with Elijah. Elijah is getting that opportunity to make the name of God known to this widow and to her son, as God is providing for him day by day with the food he needs, and he's providing them with the food they need day by day, when she believed that at some early point in this drought and this famine that she was going to prepare her last meal and die. But God said no. God said, I'm going to provide for her, and I'm going to provide for you, Elijah, so that you can make me known. There's one more way that God provides for his people in this story, or one more way that God provides. This isn't necessarily for his people, but as we finish out the chapter of 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning with verse 17, it says, sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, what do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son? And if you read this, you have to read it with bitterness and anger and despair and maybe even some hate and some vitriol. This isn't a happy saying. You can't read this in a fresh state of mind. You have to be mad to read this. Okay? This is what the woman asks. And then Elijah says, "Give me your son." Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, "Lord, my God, have you brought tragedy even on this widow I am staying with by causing her son to die?" Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times, cried out to the Lord, "Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him." The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house. He gave him to his mother and said, "Look, your son is alive." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth." Sometimes God provides for other people through us. Sometimes God is taking care of us like he's taking care of Elijah, and the real provision is for other people. For people who don't know Christ, or people who just need to be reminded of the power of God. And God supplies the needs of His people to take care of the needs of others. And that's what God is doing through this, the death of this son. Is He's going to provide through Elijah for this widow. And while Elijah is going to learn some great lessons about the faithfulness of God and about the fact that God is the giver of life, I think that more than anything, this, in this case, is for the widow. We can learn some lessons when God provides for us to provide for others, but I think most of the time, those provisions aren't for our benefit, they're for the benefit of others. This widow has seen God providing day after day for the needs of her and her son and for Elijah. And she's beginning to see that God is more powerful than Baal. She's beginning to see that this God that Elijah serves is, well, he's able to give even when Baal can't. Baal can't provide the rain, but God can provide the oil and the wheat. When she can't explain it, where is the wheat coming from in this jar that should be empty? Where is the oil coming from that's in this pitcher that should have run dry a long time ago? Where is the water coming from that I need for daily life when the drought is so great and God provides? But Now she's going to find that God is not just able to provide those, but He is the giver of life. Her son dies, and God provides not just for the immediate needs, but for the future. You see, here is a woman who would have been helpless and hopeless had it not been for a son who could have worked and provided a few things for her needs. Without a son, she's helpless and hopeless. And God looks to the future and He provides for her needs, not just for today, but for tomorrow and for the future, through providing life for her son. And sometimes God provides us with more than what we need for today so that we can meet the needs of others. So that we can take care of providing and caring for others. God God gave Elijah the faith to pray. And then God provided life to the son because of the prayers and the faith of Elijah. And the whole thing was designed to bring glory to him. You see, Elijah really doesn't gain anything from this story. If you recall what we just read, Elijah doesn't get any glory. Elijah doesn't get any credit. In fact, what Elijah gets is a great big chewing on from this woman as she accosts him and rages against him with anger and bitterness and vitriol. She comes to Elijah and says, "Have you come to remind me of my sins?" She fails to realize all that has been provided for her in this moment because of the death of her son. And Elijah doesn't gain anything, because at the end of the day, she doesn't say, "Oh, Elijah, what a great job you've done." She doesn't give Elijah the glory. Rather, she says, "Now I believe in Yahweh, your God. Now I believe. Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth." She says, "Now I know that God can do what he says he's going to do through you." And this woman needed that message, but I think Elijah needed that message as well. Because what Elijah is going to do, and what we're going to see in the next couple of weeks through the life of Elijah, the great prophet of God, is that time and again, he forgets these three lessons. But when he remembers them, God is doing great things through him. See, when we look at Elijah, Elijah doesn't gain much, Elijah doesn't do much, but God does a lot through Elijah and for Elijah. God is powerfully working in the story around Elijah so that people will see that Yahweh is God. And as we look at the story of Elijah, this is what we need to see: that God will bless his children. Now, he might bless those around us for the sake of his children. He might bless his children for the sake of those around them. But God is the God who provides the blessings for his children. And whatever the case, however God chooses to bless his children and bless those around his children, in each case, it is so that it is Yahweh who gets the credit for the blessing. You see, God blesses us in ways, and God blesses others in ways so that he can be glorified and he can be magnified. To receive the blessings as his children, you and I must be in a relationship with him. Otherwise, the blessings that God gives are to draw you into a relationship. You see, there's only one of two sides. You can either be in a relationship and be blessed by God, or you can be outside of a relationship, and when God blesses you, it is to draw you to him. In Elijah's case, each time that God provides, it is provoked by Yahweh. God says, "I will provide," but Elijah, in obedience, must act to receive the blessing. He has to go to the Kirith Valley. He has to go to Sidon. He has to go upstairs with the child. Each time that the blessing comes, Elijah is obedient. And to begin a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, to accept His offer of salvation that He is offering through the gift of His Son and His blood, we must act. We must act in repentance, acknowledging that we are sinful and that God is right. We must confess our sins and confess that God is God and Jesus is the Savior. And we must submit in baptism. We, like Elijah, must act in obedience to accept the gift. And this morning, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you don't have a relationship with God the Father, we're going to sing one more song in worship, and I would invite you to come and begin that relationship with Him, or begin a conversation about what that relationship looks like. If you're a follower this morning, a follower of Christ, as we sing, I ask you to use this song as a time to reflect. A time to reflect on how God is providing for you and how you can use that to point other people to Him. What are the blessings in your life? What are the untold and unused blessings that God wants to use to draw people to Himself through you? Let's stand together this morning as we sing.